This is HMM correspondent Anna Cowie, and I'm here with Philip Oswald, the lawyer who filed the intent to sue against Norlite on behalf of Saratoga Sites residents. For those who don't know, Norlite is a toxic waste incinerator located in Cohoes, New York. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. To start us off, can you explain to our listeners who may not be familiar with the legal proceedings against Norlite what's taking place now?
Sure. So it's been reported in the media. I sent a letter out to Norlite and its parent company, Tredebe. And the letter is what's often called a letter or a notice of intent to sue. And that basically is a prerequisite under a federal environmental law that we'll be commencing suit under, or possibly commencing suit under, called the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. And that governs the disposal, including incineration, of solid waste, including solid waste that are deemed to be hazardous waste. And basically, the letter lays out the grounds for our lawsuit. And the federal law, Resource Conservation Recovery Act, which is often referred to as RCRA, allows for a citizen suit, which basically is a statutory mechanism that Congress decided was appropriate, given that they knew that agencies like the EPA and the DEC and other state agencies would often be overburdened with the amount of kind of pollution that was occurring, too much for them to commence enforcement actions against every single polluter. So they created this citizen suit provision that basically allows citizens to enforce these laws themselves if the EPA or state agencies don't do so. And under the citizen suit provision, we have to send out this letter of intent to sue, and we have to wait 90 days after sending it before we can start our lawsuit. And now the purpose of that 90-day waiting period is to allow the EPA and the DEC here, as the state agency with jurisdiction, to start their own enforcement action. And if they don't, then we get to commence a lawsuit after 90 days.
And is this the first legal proceeding that's been brought against the facility? Is this the first citizen suit that's been filed?
So legal proceeding in general, you know, Norlite's a big company, and so is Tredebe. They have a lot of things going on there between the mining and the aggregate production, which is this construction material that they produce. I'm sure they've been in litigation before over various things, ranging from personal injuries to contract disputes. When you're doing business on that scale, it's just an inevitable part of business. As far as citizen suits, this is the first one that I'm aware of. I've looked for prior ones and I did not find any, but I believe that this is the first citizen suit that has been brought or might be brought against Norlite. I know that there have been enforcement actions against them by the DEC and the EPA in the past. Now, enforcement action isn't technically a lawsuit. It's an administrative proceeding where either the EPA or the DEC is prosecuting Norlite for violations of their permit or various environmental regulations, and they're seeking monetary penalties. I know that Norlite and Tredebe have a history of those enforcement actions, but this is the first citizen suit that I am aware of against Norlite, and or against Norlite in particular. I don't know about Tredebe. I can't say for sure about them.
You already talked about this a little bit in terms of like what the process for this lawsuit looks like, but can you expand a little bit more on it? Do you think that this is going to go to court, or do you think something's going to change in the next 90 days?
Well, you know, time will tell. The EPA and the DEC have the statutory right under this environmental law, RCRA, to start their own enforcement proceeding. And if they honestly and actively prosecute that enforcement proceeding, then my clients don't have a right to start a lawsuit. And we certainly welcome the EPA and the DEC to do that. We think it's the appropriate course of action, especially for agencies that are tasked with, you know, monitoring this type of incineration and going after incinerators should they incinerate materials that present a imminent and substantial endangerment to public health, which is what we believe is going on here. So if the DEC and EPA, however, do not start their own enforcement proceeding, or if they aren't vigorous in prosecuting it, we can start a lawsuit. And the way that's done is we would be filing what's called a complaint in federal court in Albany, which is the Northern District of New York. And the complaint would, for the most part, follow what's laid out in the letter, because the letter has to give notice of what we're suing over. So the complaint is the official document that would start a lawsuit. And in the complaints, we would make allegations that Tradebe and Norlite's incineration of AFFF and possibly other activities violated RCRA because it presents a imminent and substantial endangerment to public health. And after that, the lawsuit is started. I would not be surprised if Tradebe and Norlite fight it thoroughly. They will most likely bring motions and there will be discovery. Once we start the lawsuit by filing the complaint, the ball is kind of in Tradebe and Norlite's court as far as responding to the allegations in the complaint.
And what is the desired outcome of this lawsuit? What relief are your clients seeking? And is there any way for Norlite or Tradebe to completely disregard what you're bringing against them?
So once we file the lawsuit and serve them with the complaint and another document that's called a summons, they can't ignore the lawsuit. If they did, they'd be subject to a default judgment for failing to respond to the allegations in the complaint. So they can't just ignore it once we start the lawsuit. They certainly can ignore it before then. That is this 90-day waiting period. They can ignore it. They don't have to take any type of action or anything like that. But once we start it, they can't ignore it anymore. The relief that we're seeking is twofold. First, we want an injunctive relief, which would be a court order that says, you know, unless something changes at the EPA and DEC level, meaning that unless they undertake these the studies that are necessary and implement the proper protocols, which, you know, based on, I'm not a scientist, but based on the research that I've done, just isn't possible right now as far as safely incinerating AFFF or any other material or waste containing PFAS. So we'd be seeking a court order that would enjoin any future incineration of this material there. And that would be something that would go beyond the current one-year moratorium that's in place that would expire, I think, May of 2021. So we would be seeking that in order of stopping them from doing this in the future. Then the second part is we would be seeking them to remediate the soil and water that has been contaminated with PFAS that they were burning for 2 years, 2018 and 2019, and that has been confirmed through lab testing to exist outside of the plant and around where my clients live. So those are the kind of two main objectives of the lawsuit as far as what relief we'd be seeking. We'd also be seeking statutory penalties, which is something that gets paid to the U.S. Treasury, doesn't go to my client at all. So this isn't a case where my clients are seeking monetary damages. They're just seeking an order that would stop the AFFF burning in the future and that what has been polluted be cleaned up.
If you're just tuning in, this is HMM correspondent Anna Cowie interviewing Philip Oswald, the lawyer who filed the intent to sue against Norlite on behalf of Saratoga Sites residents. Can you go into a little bit more about what happens if the Department of Environmental Conservation gets involved and talk about what the state's position and what the DEC's position has been on what's happening with Norlite?
So, you know, there's been a lot of hyperbole back and forth about DEC's position in all of this, including the 2 years that it was going on. And, you know, I can't say for certain on the show, I don't want to, you know, give any inaccurate information exactly what their position was before kind of this all hit the press in early 2020, which is when Sierra Club and Earth Justice filed their lawsuit out in California. But since then, DEC has taken the position that they've asked Norlite to stop until they do further research and testing and try to develop safe protocols in conjunction with the EPA, based on what I understand. The DEC laid this out in a letter that they sent in mid-June of 2020, a few weeks ago. They've also acknowledged that there's a knowledge gap about whether this can be done, and by this I mean the burning of AFFF, whether this can be done safely or in a manner that doesn't result in further contamination with PFAS chemicals outside of the incineration facility. So they don't know that yet. They've acknowledged that. They've also acknowledged that Norlite's permits were issued without consideration of them burning AFFF or PFAS materials. So a lot is yet to be seen as far as what they'll do as far as bringing in enforcement action. From what I understand, they are going to do some of their own testing. They've said that the testing that was done by Bennington College, they're questioning the data that came out of that. But I haven't seen any data from their end, either on whether incineration can effectively destroy AFFF and PFAS in general, or whether the way it was being done at Norlite can do it, can destroy that material specifically. So I haven't seen any actual concrete data from them on either of those points. Yet they are saying that the Bennington College data is questionable, and that the PFAS that was confirmed to exist outside of the facility and around where my clients live, they're calling that background levels, which is typical of urban environment. That's what the DEC is saying. Now, I also haven't seen any data on what they consider background levels, or, you know, how they came up with those levels. They're just saying that. So they say that they're going to do some testing of their own, and I hope that they do. I certainly welcome them, the EPA, anybody else who wants to do their own testing, even Norlite. I think the more information that we have on this issue and what's happened in the past and any pollution or contamination that continues to exist is better. You know, it gives us more knowledge as far as the exact risk that is being posed by the incineration of this material. But, you know, that's their position right now, which seems to indicate to me that they most likely will not commence an enforcement action, which is unfortunate to me because it puts the onus on us. And when I say us, I'm really referencing my clients who don't have the financial resources that the DEC has to go after Norlite on this issue. But we're going to still go after them. And you know, my firm is going to put up a lot up front to do that. But really, these types of things should be done by the governmental agencies, I think, that are tasked with protecting public health from contamination. If they were to commence an enforcement action, they would serve Norlite with a notice of violation, and it would probably go through an administrative proceeding where they would probably assess penalties against Norlite. I don't think the result of that proceeding would be an order or any type of binding decision that prohibited Norlite from doing this in the future or from cleaning up what they did do, although it might include some relief in the form of remediation. But anyways, that's if they did commence an enforcement action, which, you know, again, based on what I have seen from them so far, I think it's going to be unlikely that they'll do that.
So you're saying that even if they did commence an enforcement action, your clients still would not get the relief that they are seeking with this lawsuit, because the enforcement action is different than what they're looking for?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a possibility, Anna. If the DEC or the EPA does commence an enforcement action, then, you know, my clients aren't, I guess, you know, as you would say, in the driver's seat as far as what's relief is sought in that action. The DEC and EPA could decide what relief they ultimately will accept to resolve that enforcement action, including negotiating with Norlite for a settlement. My clients would have no say in that. You know, that would be really completely up to the discretion of the DEC and or the EPA.
So if people wanted to get involved in supporting this lawsuit and what your clients want to get out of this lawsuit, is there any way for them to do that?
So yeah, certainly there's a number of things that they could do. First, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners know already, or maybe they don't know, there is a bill that has passed both the Assembly and the State Senate and is awaiting Governor Cuomo's signature that would make it unlawful for the incineration of AFFF to occur at Norlite. So, you know, I believe that the sanctuary has previously posted the phone number that you can call to urge the governor to sign that bill. And I would urge Governor Cuomo to sign that bill. And I would urge your listeners to call that number and to request that the governor do that if they haven't done so already. But the other things, you know, if you have any information or anything that you think that your listeners might think would be helpful for my clients and probably, you know, the larger Cohoes and Troy communities, as far as getting Norlite to take more precaution in what they burn and how they burn it, or anything that they feel might help in this lawsuit, I certainly would urge them to call me or to send me an email. You know, my phone number is 518-886-1902, and my lines are open. Me and my staff are taking calls from folks on this case, so I'd certainly urge them to call me about it. And, you know, other than that, you know, keep on it. You know, this is as much a social justice issue as anything. The residents in Saratoga sites, they live there because that's one of the few areas that they can afford. And it's unfortunate, but that it's quite common that these incineration and hazardous waste facilities often are located in areas where there's low income communities nearby. And, you know, that's not fair and it's not right. And I think that there's an opportunity here to do something about it. So, you know, I would urge your listeners to, you know, remain vocal with their elected officials. That is from the local city, county level up through their state elected officials and even federally elected officials. So, you know, those are some things that I think folks can do if they really want to get involved and do something about what's going on here.
The bill that Phil just referenced is Bill S7880B/A9952B, banning the burning of PFAS, a forever chemical. The number to call to urge Governor Cuomo to sign the bill is 518-474-8390, or you can go to governor.ny.gov and click on the contact section. To clarify, your clients are residents of Saratoga sites.
Correct. I represent several residents of Saratoga sites. The federal environmental lawsuit is going to be brought in the name of a not-for-profit corporation that's being formed for these residents. The purpose of this corporation is to get a handle on Norlite and to make sure that Norlite's not doing anything, such as secretly burning AFFF for 2 years, that would endanger the health and safety of the residents who live there. You know, I've been to Saratoga sites. You know, I've walked the complex backyard, and the kids' toys look like my backyard with my kids' toys. You know, water tables and slides and a playground and a basketball hoop, and you know, a stone's throw away is Norlite. And it's just common sense to me that Norlite should not be burning AFFF in such close proximity where people live, where they do various residential activities outside. And even more importantly, you know, if they are going to burn AFFF, which is a material that, you know, is notorious for polluting innocent communities, it's not a new thing. It's been going on for years now. If they're going to do something like that, then they should at least provide notice to the residents who live so close to them, who are really their neighbors. They should notify their neighbors. You know, Norlite has said and Tredebe has said that they had no legal obligation to notify their neighbors that they were doing this, but it's morally not responsible. It's morally not right to not tell people. I mean, you're depriving them of the choice as to whether they want to be exposed to that risk by not telling them and secretly doing it for 2 years. 2 years. They have a case. I've laid it out in my letter, and there's going to be more to come.
Yeah, thank you. And then one last question. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about during this interview that you think is important for people to know or to keep in mind?
You know, one thing that continues to strike me in my practice is things that go on that you think wouldn't, given, you know, how much we know nowadays and as far as, you know, science and engineering methods and things like that. You know, I think people would be surprised as to what still goes on and the risks that are still out there, and the risks that we're exposed to on a daily basis, probably. And I think the, you know, PFAS problem is kind of that in a microcosm. I think people should always be vigilant, should always question what governmental agencies tell them is safe, and just be aware that there are risks out there, even in 2020. I just want to thank you and the Sanctuary again for your coverage of this matter.
Yeah, thank you so much for meeting with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Again, that was Philip Oswald, the lawyer who filed the intent to sue against Norlite on behalf of Saratoga Sites residents.